Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at locomotive sports. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Want to welcome all our new listeners. Thank you for joining us as we are here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. live. And our regulars, we're not going to leave you out. Thanks for sticking with us and just being here. So I do want to thank you guys again. So, what are you looking at me, Jay? You look like you're about to kill me. Hosting tonight, the one, the only, Mr. J.J. Nunn. What's the matter? You mad at me?
What
I do?
Not at all, man.
What
not
I do?
At all. Just, you know.
Every time I see him, I say, what I do? Just in case.
No, just want to thank everybody who listens to us and puts up with our bullshit. Doing great, man.
Lightly pitted, yes. Thank you.
Still recuperating from the weekend. It was a long one.
Yeah, chicken nuggets in my mouth.
Chicken. You're on the microphone and you're eating chicken nuggets? Really? Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea where the nugget comes from?
No, I really don't care at this point. This is my lunch, by the way. I didn't eat anything all day and I started early, so.
I don't want to even begin to think where that. I don't want to even think where that comes from.
You know, I don't want you to say where you think it comes from, because I don't want to know.
I have a damn good idea where
family show.
I have a damn good idea where it comes from.
Of course, the man always on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Good.
How you doing? After this weekend.
Until I figure out what I've been eating.
How you eating chicken nuggets. I'm doing great. Long
weekend, like you
said. Because Saturday night, you weren't doing too good. You made a statement there, and it was, what was it again, Mike? Either I'm getting old or I'm out of shape.
Out of everything that was said this weekend, he remembers that.
Yep, and he remembers that somebody said, probably both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Heck, I was asking Mikey for ibuprofen after the first. What was it, after qualifying or after the first 25 laps?
After the first race.
We got Mikey Jr. Reffler here in the studio. Yeah. Fly on the wall.
Yep, fly on the wall. I got Mike here sitting in the studio with us also.
Since I'm racing, I have something to talk about.
Yeah, it's nice to be back at the Speedway with you guys. You know, thanks for letting me pit with you guys, or both of us pit with you. And we got to catch flack from everybody else in the pits because we're pitting with you guys, but we'll take it. That's fine.
No. You know what flack he caught was? How did you guys get so lucky to be able to pit with them?
Right. Okay.
This is when I came on board. This was my statement on the back of my car when I joined JC Motorsports. Segregated by choice, condemned by association. Okay? But my phone stopped ringing. People stopped saying hello.
We need to revitalize that sticker for the car. No.
Okay. It was total annihilation.
And we are out there in the backwoods too. But hey, nice place to be. It's quiet back
there. And I keep saying I pit out there for a reason.
It's close to the porta potty. Yep. No, that's not why. I know
it's away from security. By the time they bicycle out there, they're huffing and puffing. Well, this is a chance.
The most I've seen Jay nervous was this past weekend because it was Heroes Night at this LVMS, and we all know at Heroes Night it's police, firemen, and Jay just looked nervous. He was sweating all night.
I didn't go up in the stands. I walked for him, that's for sure.
He didn't walk by the canine dog or nothing.
No.
He stayed in his car.
That's right.
When he was in his car, he was by his truck, ready to roll.
You got that right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, as I keep saying, we pit way back there. So when the tech officials want us, they got to come back and get us.
Make them work for us.
Make them work. And by the time they get back there, they forget what they went
for. Yeah, they're like, hey, what are we here? You guys barbecuing anything? What's going on? Yeah.
It's one, we can see the security coming.
Exactly.
Two, we can
keep
see
back to the wall, right?
We can see the track officials coming.
Uh-huh.
And three, most importantly, after a race, we can see the other drivers coming. So
all of the above works.
So now I know there's a method to the madness. Yes. So
and we take cover accordingly.
Exactly.
Usually it's we got a driver coming and we all turn and go, Justin, who'd you hit?
Exactly.
If it's a track official, we'd say, Gary, what'd you do now? And if it's security, everybody points their finger at me.
Say, Jay, what'd you say now?
Oh, man. An old innocent Mr. Arley. We don't... Mr. Innocent.
Three-time instigator himself.
Mr. Jackson Nicholson. That's what he reminds me of.
He's got all three coming to our place.
Well, luckily he's got a posse to back him up, though.
like half of Las Vegas,
half
I think.
Half the spectators stand.
He had 20. Arlie Daniels had 25 people come out of the stand. Go ahead.
There's nobody in the spectator stand.
Go
anymore.
Ahead. I challenge everybody out there. Go say hello to Arlie after a race. Let me know how you make out.
Yeah. Nah, that's cool, though.
He's got a mob.
He does. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A mob.
It is a mob.
I don't even
think he knows who all the people are.
At the end of the night, it was about 5-10 minutes after the final race, and somebody said to me, hey, look at this mob coming. And they said, oh, that's Daniel's family.
That's Daniel's crew, yeah. That's funny, though. But
he definitely don't go a small family, I can tell you that.
You know, and that's a great, great support system being out there at the track, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's an excellent support system when half the stand is your family.
Well, like you guys said, too, but when you'd roll up somewhere, even Pahrump or somewhere, already, you know, he'd have 20 people up there in the stand.
Oh, yeah. Great family.
Yeah.
Good people.
Just giving you a hard time, Arlie.
Yeah.
I'm not.
These guys still kind of like you.
He's Gary's fault.
That's a true teammate. He points to you if it's Gary's fault.
That's right.
Hey, I've taken the brunt of everything else that's
going
on.
I know, that is true.
I've said 100,000 times, I got big shoulders, man. I can take it.
Take it, and you can carry the weight.
That's right.
No, it was a lot of fun out there this past weekend.
Real quick,
yep.
While it was appreciation of our heroes out there, first responders, I do want to send out a personal thank you to one of our track EMTs, Jeremy.
Okay.
I collected some dirt in my eye out there, and I want to say thank you very much. Right on the back of the truck as race were going on, he sat me down, and he spent a good 15 minutes. I had two pieces of dirt in my eye. Yeah,
no.
after the track was oiled down and the regurgitated cornflakes was put out there,
right.
And we had to ride through it. Well, partially through that race, I got two pieces of dirt in my eye. I want to say thank you, Jeremy.
Cool.
Really appreciate it. Saved me a scratch cornea and a trip to the ER.
No kidding.
And a nice large bill. So.
Well, that's one thing about them guys out there. They don't get the recognition, big or small, whatever it might be, so that's great.
Yeah, I went to line up, and they radioed ahead to Roy, and Roy went and knocked on the truck door, and he came out and took care of me right away.
I'm sure Tim Richter was like, take care of this guy. There's nothing worse than a 21-second car that can't see.
Hey, wait, hold it.
Oh, yeah.
Hold it. Yeah. I got to defend him.
Okay.
20.8.
Yep.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Look at that.
I am sorry. No longer a 21-second car.
20.8.
And it happened to be on the night the police were engulfed in the track.
He was showing them he can go fast.
I can get away. I can get away.
That's right.
If I need to.
I said, watch this, guys. We're going to get on the track and off the track. Fast.
Well, that's cool. Where did you find the extra boost of speed? Was it that...
I heard the sirens.
Right. You found out later it was the ambulance.
Yeah. I heard the sirens.
No.
That was it.
He found out later it was the kids playing with the car up on the concourse up there.
Right. Oh, man. No, that's cool. Hey, you know, nothing harder than wheeling a 3,800-pound... What was that? Is that a... What kind of car is that, by the way?
It's a Ford. Just Aztec.
I'm just kidding.
That's a Mercury.
Mercury, I know.
Yep.
We don't got them.
what kind of Mercury did you say it was?
Tracer.
Tracer.
they've never seen one of those out there.
First time.
Yeah. First time. They had a Mercury.
You know what? We won't give Tech too much of a hard time. We got to keep going back out there. And I'm not going to associate myself with too much... crap, I guess.
Matt knew it was a Mercury.
Somebody knew. They had to know.
Matt knew it was a Mercury. Oh, no, they thought it was...
Matt wasn't there, was he?
We won't get into
it.
we won't get into it.
That's why everybody likes those spec divisions, because we know everybody's got the same thing. It's easy. It's easy then. No?
That's why there's so many Monte Carlos out there.
They're all Monte Carlo. Every car out there is a Monte Carlo.
Not mine.
Except for two. No.
Three. Four.
A few.
Hey, your old car was back out there.
Yes, it was.
As the 31.
Yep.
31, Rich Ham didn't make it. He busted before he even qualified. And he was the 31H, and I forgot what they labeled the other 31 as.
M, I think.
What?
M. I think.
Saying it's part of their crew. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice car. Yeah. I don't mind that old.
It was.
Car. It was a nice car.
Yeah, it was.
Back in the day.
It still is. It was. Yeah.
It ran a 19 something, didn't it?
19.8.
For that big old car.
Yep. 19.8.
Yeah. It's a fast car.
I tried to buy that car, but he wouldn't sell it to me. He sold it to Gary for less money than I offered. I don't know why that is. So, but oh well, hey, it's all behind me now. Of course, what we're talking about is the LVMS race this past weekend, makeup race for a couple of different divisions from the rainout on April 9th was this past weekend, and. Double mains for the bombers, which is a lot of laps for bombers.
Double
car.
Mains for the Thunder Roadsters, the bombers, and the Superlates.
Yeah, Superlates. That's right. Yeah. Well, the Superlates were scheduled for this
for a double.
For
anyhow,
double,
yeah.
Anyhow, it's Thunder Roadster and the bomber.
Yep.
Makeup.
And then the 30th. Same
thing.
Oh
my God! Next week, back to back.
Yep. Double mains for the bombers.
Double mains. Can these cars last? I was worried about one weekend lasting 50 laps for two mains, let alone back to back.
And we have some free tickets for the 30th race.
Oh,
you guys figure out how to give them away.
I might know some people.
Yeah?
Okay. Maybe.
We'll give you a chance to call in. If you want to call in, you can call 702-685-8116.
That's 702-685-8116.
And again, this past weekend was another themed night that Tim Richter has put on. Is this the second year he's did the themed races, I believe?
The Hometown Heroes Night, presented by K&N Builders.
Yeah, there's like six races or so throughout the season that he's deemed themed nights. You know, of course, the Heroes Night's one of them. Next weekend, or this weekend actually coming up, is College
Night. Yep. With including the big rigs, the North American big rigs.
Yeah, again this
make
year for the second year
second
in a row. Yeah,
and if you guys
fun.
Haven't seen those,
a lot
they
of
are
fun.
Bad.
Yeah.
Those are fun to watch. Yes.
And it's an on-track autograph session.
Right, Gary is going to put his van out there, but they said that's not considered a big rig, so he can't take his van out there this weekend.
Nope.
I wouldn't want to be next to those things. You see those things?
I know. You know what? They got those things hooked up to where they can... circle that track.
They don't
faster than some
they
of us
don't
guys.
Slow down so quick.
Now those are a lot of fun to watch. If you haven't seen those before, you want to come out this weekend, April 30th to LVMS. It's
Spectator side, gates open typically at 5:30, I believe, and racing starts, you know, I don't know, 6-ish, 7-ish.
Usually at 7.
7, yeah, like national anthem and all that. So gates open at 5, I guess,
yes.
Theory. Okay. So you want to come out there this weekend. You can always go to lvms.com and check out the website there. Click on the Bullring link and shop around there. You're going to find what you want to find.
Yep, 5 p.m. spectator gates open, and if you want to catch the qualifying, you'll have the Bandoleros, Legends, Bombers, Superstocks. The Southwest Tour trucks are in town,
yes,
also.
That's right, this weekend.
And
oh,
the big
rigs,
yeah.
Single truck qualifying. The on-track autograph session is running from 6 to 6:45, 6:55 opening ceremonies, and 7 p.m. I guess they're going to leave the big rigs out there. They're going to run a trophy dash for 4 laps right off the bat.
Nice.
And then we're looking at the Bandits feature, number 1, Outlaw feature, number 1, the Big Rigs Heat Race, number 1, Heat Race number 2 for the rigs, the Superstock feature number 1, and down the list, the Bomber feature, Thundercar, Southwest Tour Trucks, Legends, Superstock feature
number two.
Okay. Then you have the Skid Plate feature, that's 12 laps. The Big Rigs will run. Then Bandits feature number 2, Outlaws feature number 2, and then the Bombers
feature
number 2.
Cool.
So once again this weekend, you got 11 main events.
A lot of racing. You're going to get your night's worth of racing if you come out to the track again
this
weekend.
If you didn't get it this past Saturday, you're sure as hell going to get it again. But with the Southwest Tour trucks and with the big rigs.
Yep, absolutely. Sounds good. Sounds like a lot of racing, a lot of fun. You want to go to LVMS.com. You can find the schedule there that Jay was just talking about. And if you can't find it there, you can always go to thebombernation.com, thebombernation.com website. Click on the message board and see what kind of crap somebody's talking about you. That's where you want to go to post what you have on your mind about either this past weekend or any race or any division, actually. You want to find something for sale, you can go to thebombernation.com. So check it out. It'll be a lot of info, a lot of fun this weekend. Can't
yes.
wait.
How many races do the trucks have this year?
The Southwest Tour?
LVMS.
One. Right. Yep, just one.
This
one
is
race.
It.
Yep.
Only chance to come see the trucks run.
Yep, big rigs also.
Yep.
They only come in, this is their second year in a row, so if you come out and support them, maybe they'll come back next year, too. If you haven't seen them, you're going to want to come out and check the big
These
rigs
These guys,
out.
It was last year, Tim Richter was telling us that these guys take vacation.
Right.
Down
take
here.
Time off.
They take an entire...
Yeah.
They're, most of them are from Canada.
Yep, up north.
And they take a week vacation, come down here with their wives. They make this... This is a big trip for them, and they love racing down here, especially after last year. They really appreciate the way Tim treated them, and they said, hey, when you want to put us back on the schedule, we'll be more than happy. Just give us notice, and Tim's got them back down here again.
That's right. And if you on the original schedule, they weren't on the original schedule. So Tim had updated the schedule at some point after the December release of the original schedule, and they added on the big rigs afterwards. So hopefully something transpired there that sparked a lot of interest and brought them down here.
And it's
that.
An autograph session. They didn't have that last year, so you can come out of the stands and get a good look at these rigs.
Is that for just the big rigs? Or is that for all the divisions?
That's for all the divisions,
okay.
Yep. On track,
so autograph session
this year.
Did they have that last year for you guys?
We've had autograph sessions, but I don't believe it was with the trucks.
Big rigs. But it was just you guys had one or two throughout the season? Or
two
more
or three this
last
really?
Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the autograph session is from 6 to 6:45.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the spectator gates open at 5.
Okay.
So.
So there'll be plenty
of
time.
Plan on going to the autograph session. And
get there by 6?
6 to 6:45, yes.
Oh, sweet. And you're going to squeeze in 11 races.
11
minutes.
And
we
you know
did
what?
It last week.
Speaking of that, good job to Tim Richter for It was about 10:15.
Well,
all 11 of those.
And it wasn't
done.
A midnight race like
yeah.
the old days where you get done at midnight.
Yeah.
It actually got done a decent time, 10-ish.
Yeah, 10:15.
I know you were saying like by 10:30 you were.
Yeah, I was turning in my transponder by 10:30. So, good job to Tim for moving that show right along.
Well, and the whole crew there. I mean, you know, everybody there that has their part in it. You know, they really. Got their stuff together this year again, so it's good to see that.
Well, Tim got 95% of his crew and his tower crew back again, so everybody's clicking on all cylinders out there.
Sounds cool. Hey, I didn't have any trouble. Police didn't have to come handcuff you or anything,
no,
Jay, so it's a good weekend of racing.
Well, yeah, and speaking of police, rewind back to the bomber, Nick Nusitelli.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Well, what a night to win, right?
In Utah. Yep.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, good
he
night.
Won,
good
he
night
won
to
the
win.
First bomber feature. So that was a good deal. That was a long race after the track was oiled down by the 67 Anthony Reiger. We were able to get that all run in and a couple cautions. And we made it through, and it was a lot of bump and run for several rookies out there.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of spinning.
I think we got a caller in. We'll find out who it is and see if we can keep you on. Who do we have here? Wait, caller?
This is Wally.
Wally? Welcome to onwheelsnow.com. How you doing?
Thank you. Oh, pretty good.
You into the racing out at LVMS, or you have a question for us?
Oh, yeah, I was calling for the tickets.
Oh, you want free tickets? Okay. How many people you have in your family?
Just me and four other people.
You got, would four tickets be good?
You
want five? We could do five for you.
Yeah. Okay, five would do good.
Okay, Wally. What we'll do is we're going to give you... How do you want to do that with him? Give him your number direct or
Facebook?
Yeah, have
him text me.
Okay, we're going to give you a different number. If you want to call Gary or text Gary with your information, this if you got something to write with, we'll give you this other number. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Give me 1 second. Let me get...
Yep.
No
problem.
Right.
One.
Click. Again,
okay,
thank you
I'm
for listening to onwheelsnow.com. Okay, the number is 702.
Uh-huh.
501.
501. 7115.
Yep, go ahead and text him your information, and he'll make sure you get those tickets. He'll arrange that with you. And again, thank you for listening. And hey, how many times have you been out to LVMS this year?
None.
Okay, hey, you're going to have a great time this weekend if you come out, because they're going to have the big rigs. If you don't know what they are, you definitely get out there by the autograph session. You're going to be able to get out there at 6 p.m. and walk around on the track itself and look at these race cars up front and up close. You can touch them and talk to some of the drivers. So make sure you make it out this weekend, okay?
Yeah, that'll sound fun. Yeah, it sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, you're
going to
have
really
a great time. Yep, definitely come on out and bring the family, and it's cheap food for everyone also. So, all right, man.
All right,
thank
cool.
you. Don't forget to text that number and arrange that. We'll look forward to seeing you out there, Wally. Thank you, man.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, you have a good one. Yep.
You too.
Anybody make sure this guy didn't call in from Tennessee?
you have to make your own arrangements to get to the track. So.
Well,
get the tickets. We'll mail you the tickets if we have to, but
you make your own flight arrangements.
Again, at the beginning of the show, we say we're live from Las Vegas, Nevada.
He could be in Italy. It's okay.
He's welcome to come to LVMS.
Speak good English if he's from Italy.
it's great to see someone call in and get these tickets. If they've never been to the LVMS, it's a great opportunity, and it's going to be a great weekend to come out and watch some racing out there. So, not going to be disappointed.
No, you definitely won't be disappointed.
Great, so. Hey, again, we talked about Mike being in the studio here. Thanks, Mike. Coming in. I think he just wanted me to pay for his lunch, his dinner, so he met me up here.
Oh, he figured it out.
Hey, that's all it takes, man.
He followed me around. Hey, you know, again, like I was saying, thanks for letting us pit with you guys. This is our second race of the season that we're back out at LVMS. Of course, Mike driving the number 11 Bomber. You know, we got a lot of tips from you guys and a lot of great guys out in this division, you know, giving us tips left and right. One class act out there that goes from pit to pit to pit to make sure everybody's out there is Fred Kaiser and his, was that Jason Kaiser?
Yes.
Man, you know, great guys there. Thanks, you guys, for, you know, helping everybody out. You know, I know you guys came over and you know, give as many tips and learning experiences that you guys have. And, you know, it's all taken.
It helps that he owned our car before, too.
Well, he's helped.
He helped set it up.
Yeah, get it set up. That helps also. You know, he has a history with that car. And, again, thank you.
Well,
He helps a lot of guys
and
out there.
And very knowledgeable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Evidently, it worked because, Mike, you had a 15th place finish in the first one and a 9th place top 10
second one. We haven't applied any of those tips yet, but Mike did get some seat time and experience and was able to, yeah, get
the
some
first decent. Race, I don't even like to think about that race.
Well, actually, yeah, that was three races in because we have two nights of racing in, but we had double mains this past week in the first main. Not so lucky. Lucky that you spun was able to not
the
get
first
into
race.
It
I was one of those rookies who got spun out and collected and some stuff,
but it didn't do any damage frame wise or anything to any structural.
I wasn't quick enough to realize just sit there for the yellow. So.
They're
learning.
Well, you know what? They wait a long time at that track to throw a caution. Sometimes I don't even see a caution. I'm like, hey, where's the caution? Somebody throw a caution. And maybe that's my opinion. What do you think, Jay?
I thought the first race, they were quick. And second race, I saw Scott Bradbury go through the infield. And
right.
Then I saw in the same spot Billy Marshmallow Man Hearn. He did a heck of a spin also.
Right.
On front stretch. So, you know, it's... it's their discretion. I'm in back. I don't, you know.
Well, that's why I'm asking you. You see the whole, you're like the eyes and ears of the track.
You know, whether these guys, evidently they stayed under power and didn't collect anything in the infield, that's their call up in the tower. They were quick to call the oil down. I know that. I was, I don't know, second lap and I was sideways coming out of two, and before I got back there again, I saw the yellow, three quarters of a lap, you know, and there was a couple other guys looping it down there, and they didn't hesitate with that, you know. I don't know. They see more than I see a portion of the track. You
well,
know,
no, that's a good point.
Whether it's turn one and two, whether it's turn three and four, or the back stretch, or the front stretch, there's four sections you're seeing, you know. They have view of the whole track and a lot more eyes than what I do.
Well,
you know,
of course.
They just like to avoid unnecessary yellows when they can.
Well,
right?
the thing is, a driver spins out by himself and he sits there. An immaculate, unbelievably, the yellow comes out,
it starts running again, right?
And it starts.
It's the yellow that makes it start.
You know, and when I said that, I didn't mean just about the bomber race. On any given night, I've seen sometimes they wait a long time, it seems like, to throw the caution. But like you said, though, they got more eyes on that track than, you know, one angle. So they're seeing it from different views.
I didn't
obviously.
Get a chance to watch one lap of any of the other races. That's how busy I was. I didn't get to see a lap of another race. So I can't really judge on last night's.
Now let
me
ask you guys this:
races.
In this particular incident in the first race,
mm-hmm.
do you think the yellow didn't get thrown because we were already? They announced over our radios that we had 3 minutes left and 10 laps to go or something along them lines. Do you think that's the reason it didn't get it? they wanted to finish it under white and green, white
right,
and checker instead of calling the race early because of the oil spill earlier in the race?
Well, I mean, that's possible, but where's the line between, you know, time and safety, I guess? I don't know.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, you know.
For me, I didn't see for the
right.
The first race, yes, an oil down. I thought it came out more than quick.
Yep.
I only went through it once.
Oh yeah, no,
before
no. I
came
I
around
agree with
and got the yellow.
And
second race, I couldn't see any dangerous situations in from my view in my car where a yellow was needed. See, that's something, you know. Another driver might say, "Hey, this guy spun right out in front of me," or I got. You know, there it's right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I didn't see that.
You know, and again,
I didn't see.
Well, not just bomber
know,
race.
Right.
I think it might have been.
Yeah, it was a modified race where I seen like somebody spun in turn one and two, and modifieds are going, you know, 15 second and 15 and a half seconds. You got a car spinning in between turn one and two,
and the leader
coming around. Just past the start finish line.
He actually passed the
yeah, and then no caution. I'm like, you know, and this car is in the middle of the turn.
Oh yeah, I was like, ooh.
Right, and the caution did finally come out after the point of which he was either at or past the car that spun. And I'm a, you know, again, it's different angles, and I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong. It just seems like sometimes it seems like they're slower to throw the caution and have. Half, if not more than half of the time, they're right on target, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, oil.
I didn't see any of the other races. I did not have time to go see one lap of another race. So I, you know, as far as the races that I was in, I thought it was called just fine.
You know,
now another driver that might have been involved in something
might think something different.
Bradbury went through the infield and so did Hearn. They might have a different opinion,
right?
You know, as to whether a mm-hmm. caution should have been thrown or not. You know,
right.
didn't Skinner go? Didn't he spin in two? Four?
Four.
And,
one of
and,
them spun up in four.
And again, you know, thank you, Tim, for removing the inner walls.
I was just about to say
yeah.
that, because at least if they don't throw the caution, you can at least see out of the corner of your
exactly.
eye.
Exactly. You can see the track. I mean, there's some point where you're down low near the bottom white line, and you can't see across because of the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
I learned from the first race, look a little farther ahead.
You know, Tim, like I said last year racing, that was one of the best improvements that I've seen at that track
in a long time.
You get,
yeah.
I mean, you're running 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. You got a hell of a lot more room to drive your car to get out of danger, okay, than years before.
Oh, yeah.
All
I mean,
right.
You've had an incident where if that wall was there, you would have had a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, last year. Yeah,
and now
last
you can spin to the inside just like you're supposed to.
Exactly.
So.
You know.
You're right. Good point.
I'd rather spin to the inside now than the outside.
Anybody
I'll be completely honest with you. With a few little walls that are left up there, my chances are a lot better than spinning to the outside.
I mean, I would have hit the wall if it was there.
Right.
If it still existed.
Exactly.
So.
Enough to, you know, or you can't gain the same control because you're trying to avoid that inner wall on top of trying to gain control of your car. So, no, great job. You know, and again, I'm not saying one way or the other. Just sometimes it seems that way. And, you know, nobody's.
Well, that's what this is for, to talk about.
Right. Nobody's perfect. You know, I mean, they got more eyes on the track and making more decisions on the fly, and sometimes those on
quick.
The fly quick decisions
quick.
You know, take a little hesitation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easy to call it from the pit side or the stands. It's easy to call the track from there. So
it's easy to turn around and say,
what the hell, why didn't you do this? It's easy for us to say
that.
So,
you know what they're looking at is a whole track.
Yeah, absolutely.
What we're looking at is a turn or two turns in front of us or a straightaway in front of us, you know, they're viewing the whole track. And even with all their eyes, I mean, they're not p- positioned where you have turn one, you have turn two, you have turn three, you have turn four. You have half of the front stretch. You have the other half of the front stretch. Okay. You know, they can't cover it all.
Nope. And, yeah, exactly. We're all human, and we all have human error, and that's just what's going to happen until they come out with full-size remote control race cars.
Drone racing.
Drone racing, when, you know.
Which does exist.
Yeah. But not in on four wheels.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but they're coming.
Coming.
We have Google races coming. So.
Hey, I want to congratulate the second bomber race winner, Martin Sullins.
Yes.
2014 bomber champion. He won his first race out there. And
first race.
Yes.
First in all his time?
First
race. I mean, he's been second a lot, right?
Yes.
And he's won a championship.
A
so,
yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
Congratulations, Martin Sullins.
In 2014, he was a winless champion.
Wow. You know what?
Yep.
You know what? And
just
I guess
by
if,
consistency.
If anybody deserves it, it's somebody that gets second a lot.
I mean,
hey, congratulations, Martin.
He was second to Nick Nusitelli the first race.
Right.
Again. You know, and he was having... He was having problems with his car and his motor Friday night.
Wow.
And evidently he got that fixed.
He was able to turn it around and come out with the win. So congratulations. That's
how many different winners has there been the first three races?
Three?
Oh,
so really? That's good to see.
Three,
yeah.
Sam Jacks, Nick Nusitelli, and
Martin
Sullins. Yep.
And this past weekend, probably one of the biggest
turnouts
for the bomber division, at least.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So, yep. That
big showing.
That just means something. Not all the cars showed up either. So look out for a bigger division coming up.
Yeah, we were
still
missing a few.
Yep. So, cool. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then after the break, we're going to come back and talk some more about local LVMS circle track racing. And again, if you do want to call in sometime during or the break or after the break, during the show, you can call 702-685-8116, and we'll see you after the break.
This is Aaron McMoran, driver of the number 22 Lucas Oil Modified, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart, your used or old vehicle, and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
I'm Thane Alderman, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing. And that was the world-famous Thane Alderman bringing us back to the show.
Yes, and I want to thank him for coming out on Friday and helping out with my car as well.
He took it out, too.
Yeah.
He was driving it like
what's he about to? Had Thane on Friday night and Fred Kaiser on Saturday night. Man, you can't get much better than that.
Got no excuses, right?
That's right.
Hey, again, Gary, great job. We've had a good run here. I want to thank all our previous guests here recently, starting off with Johnny Spilatro of the 38 Superstock, which is going to be out here on College Night this weekend. And he was talking about one of the only people he can talk to out at UNLV, which is Kaylee Barker, which races every super late model race. So I didn't get a chance to watch her race out. None of the races this weekend because we were busy too, obviously, like Jay was. But hopefully I'll catch one coming up here soon. Love to watch her race.
Also want to congratulate Chris Spanky Bosley.
Spanky?
Yeah, Spanky.
Who's Spanky?
Chris Bosley, former bomber driver, now rolling Thunder Roadster.
Sweet.
He got himself his first win this year.
Hey.
So somebody must have stepped up and gave him a new set of tires because at the picnic he was hitting me up. Hey, JJ, you want to sponsor me for some new tires?
And he found a sponsor, right?
I was telling him, I can't afford my own new tires. I sure as hell can't buy you tires. But, I want to congratulate Chris Bosley on a win. And everybody knows him out there by Spanky.
Spanky, okay. Yeah. I don't know you, Spanky, but we'll look for you. We'll look for Spanky. In the Thunder Roadsters. Do you know what number Thunder Roadster that is?
42.
42. Look for the 42.
I think.
Thunder, I think. So look for Spanky somewhere on the car. So cool. And of course, recently also the Lucas Oil Modified number 22 driver, Aaron McMorrin, in studio. We've had Pat Petrie in. We've had Chad
H-Town
Racing. We've had Chad Mattos. What a great guy. He's the number 6 Superstock, I believe.
Yep.
So.
And forgive me, I don't, as you know, I have a billion things going on, but I'm working on the 40 super late model driver.
Number 40.
Yes. It's a black and red car. Sorry, I don't know the name. I don't remember the name. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks, Gary. Right. Now you got my curiosity. Well, you can go to LVMS.com this year, click on the Bullring link, and click on the racers, I believe, and they actually have a driver roster on there this year, which is great.
Is that Mr. Stan Mullis?
Yes. No.
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 Stan Mullis is the number 20. So that's fine. Hey.
Hey.
Whoever you are, we're looking forward to seeing you on the show. Anyways, I just wanted to say,
Sorry, it's number 40.
You did say
Matt,
40.
Yes.
You said 40.
Well, he's saying 20.
Yeah. No, I never said a number.
I said 20 is Dan Mullis.
No, Matt.
Matt, just Matt. Is that like...
Yes, Matt.
Just Matt, like Prince.
Prince, yeah. Yes, like Prince, yeah, Matt.
But not like Prince because he's gone now.
Yes,
yeah. So sorry, Matt. All right, great. We're looking forward to that in the future show. I'm working on it. So. Yep. I think I know Matt.
Yes, you do. Anyway,
okay.
I got a rant.
Okay, let's
I got a rant.
This is nice. Gary don't rant much except when his teammates aren't around. I get to hear him rant. I'm just kidding.
That's the truth.
I want to hear Gary's rant. What's your rant, man?
These guys, I don't know about other divisions. I'm talking for the bombers. Them damn restarts. They make everybody stack up on the backstretch. And the guy in the front is hitting the guy in the back and all that. I mean,
now,
just as we talked earlier, the pace car is called a pace car for a reason.
Absolutely.
That don't mean when the pace car goes off, the leaders slow down.
And that's what I noticed myself watching, not in just that division, but especially in the bombers. They're not keeping the pace of the pace car. So the pace car is to keep the pace around the track. When he pulls off the track, he maintains that same pace till the acceleration, line.
Yes.
Right? That's my understanding, and that's what's actually in the rules.
And you've got everybody, the leaders, the pole and the pole sitter and the next second place car, has everybody stacking up
right.
in the back, and they're all hitting each other.
You know,
and
it happened once to me, too.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here, in some divisions, it's not that big a deal, but when you got 26 cars out there, that's stacking up. By the time you get back on your acceleration, your gas pedal, they're the first place guys that stacked up the whole
field
anyway is already halfway down, you know, into turn one and two.
Exactly.
So
well, that's why you do it.
Well, exactly. You know, and at one point I've seen, I don't know how many years ago, they actually started black, you know, warning them the first time and black flagging them, sending them to the back if they did that. And I think they should do the same thing. They shouldn't be stacking up the field by brake checking or slowing down slower than the pace car.
Well, yeah, but that leader is going to say, well, I didn't slow down. Well,
you didn't get the pace of the pace car.
It starts at the leader where they start stacking up.
Right.
It's not like it starts in the middle of the field.
There's one car to blame. That's the pole, the guy in the pole position that is supposed to keep the pace of the pace car and lead the guys into the acceleration line and on down the field, on down the line.
I mean, I think restart games is part of racing, but you have to have a limit on it, for sure.
Well, yeah, if it's blatant and you see the guy slow down, give him a warning. We all have receivers nowadays. Tell him, hey, you're going to have to keep the pace of the pace car when you're coming around. If we have to restart one more time, you're going to the back.
And
that's my opinion.
And as you said, we got receivers, just like on one of the starts, Danny was yelling at the points or the pole sitter saying, hey, get below the white line. You can't run him up that high in the – and he was telling him over the radio, hey, come back down. You can't go up that high.
Well, that is an old trick to get your position as you're coming around, which is great for Dan to be able to notice that because he is an experienced – with over 700 races, so he's an experienced guy, so he knows that trick. But the
thing is stacking the field up, and now you got all these other cars in the back swerving out of the line and swerving.
Well, and when you got 10 cars, it's not that big a deal, but when you got over 15, 20 cars, you start affecting the whole race a lot.
It wasn't the first. It was the second and third restart. It happened twice in the first race. I know exactly what Gary's talking about. Mm-hmm. The 43, Skinner had jumped out of line again. And this was a part of last year, twice. Remember, Sam Jackson, his old car, had to duck to the inside.
Right. Now,
okay, I'm watching this, okay, and guys are stacking. The effect doesn't necessarily happen on the first, the third, and fifth place cars.
Exactly.
I restarted.
Most likely it's further back.
I restarted 15th.
Right.
Okay, now I pretty much can see if they're stacking up right away, all right, the first, third, fifth, sixth, and I did.
Right.
So I slowed up. The rookie behind me, is going, gets into my rear and shoves me into the 21 of Bob Rinda.
Now,
Bob, sorry, he knows it wasn't intentional. Because he got into the car in front of him.
Now,
I thought I left enough room. I got a flat front bumper.
Right. Now, listen, the first top 10-ish cars, it doesn't affect as much. It starts trickling back. Now, with the new point system, when you're 15th place on back, you're really affected by this kind of start. So it doesn't affect the guys up front that qualified good, that are fast racers and all that. Even the inversion doesn't affect them. But when you start getting into the 15th place on back, where it starts affecting the trickle effect after that, that's where it affects you.
And guess what?
The new point system makes it harder for that last group of guys to do anything with, because you're only getting 5 points or whatever it is. You can't catch up when you get stacked that far back, and these first place cars are gone. So that really is a more serious issue than it seemed like. You know, it's a good point you brought up here.
The new point system incentivizes finishing higher than you started.
Right, and the top 10 guys are starting halfway decent. And maybe not just the top 15, actually. And that type of delayed start really affects the halfway point guys on back more than it does, you know, 14th on forward. So that's more serious than you think as far as, you know, just slowing up the guys and brake checking and all that.
It's the guys restarting. Like you said, it's the guy on the pole. Okay, where they're, you know, Mike, like you say, people, they start playing games. They let out. And they let out. They're not brake checking.
Right. They let off.
They right. just let off
enough
to let the mm-hmm. outside pole guy go, and then he lets off. Now they jump.
Yep.
But by the time the pole position jumps, we're already 7, 8, 9, 10 cars
deep.
Exactly.
11th, 13th, and 15th are now taking hits, bumper to bumper. Now we're on our brakes. We get to the start finish line. The leader is already making turn two.
Yeah, exactly. And then how do you catch up from that? You know, you don't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And we had five rookies out there.
Caution,
you
or
know, it's a matter of learning. You know, and I keep on saying, I was a rookie once. All right, this is.
Well, it's not just the rookie doing this.
This is making
this kind of mistake, though. That's the problem.
This is entry level division.
Well,
you're going to have guys out there.
It is entry level, but it's entertainment level also, because you have a mix
they're
of guys.
They're all entertainment.
Tell me your
all
entry level. How many years have you been in the Bombers cars?
Fifteen
years you've been in a Bomber car. You're not entry level. So it's a mix of entry level racers, like you said, rookies and all that, but they're not the ones making the mistakes. It's maybe not enforcing keeping the pace of the pace car. So if that guy is doing it and they have to restart it and put him to the back, then maybe they should do that.
That's an example, so the next guy don't do it.
Exactly.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Right. It's just my opinion, maybe.
This has been a consistent problem even from last year. Okay.
Last year is when I really started noticing it real big. But,
you know.
And
then you don't want to lay back. Okay.
Because then you're going to get in trouble for laying back.
I mean, you're going to hear that. You don't want to lay back. You want to keep it tight, okay? But you don't want to run into the guy.
Exactly.
You don't want to piss the guy off in front of you.
And that's a good point, because now, you know, Gary, since you know this is happening, guess what you do? You, instead of getting on the front guy's bumper, you lay back a little bit, and the guy behind you lays back a little bit. Now everybody's got this gap between them. It's going to make for a crappy start or restart,
because
it's double file restart, so it happens every time.
I went into the rear. Okay, I saw him stacking up. My hand went up. I still got nailed.
Right.
And I nailed Bob Rinder.
I saw you almost nailed somebody.
One time I did get in the back of somebody.
Bumped and then bumped in the guy in front of me.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it on. Hey, Bob, wasn't intentional, but you know, a number of guys stacked up. That's a part of the racing. Something needs to be solved there.
Right. You know why I think it might happen more in the Bombers, too? I just thought of this. Is because they have such big bumpers that you can kind of get away with it more. If you had, like, a super stock or
something that tears up a little easier,
right, the guys are less likely, I think, to...
And it all stems back to me, anyway. This is my opinion, is not keeping the pace of the pace car. And if they're not keeping the pace of the pace car going up to the acceleration line, then they need to be... dealt with,
penalized
in some way, whether it's a warning and then you go to the back the second time,
maybe docked a position
or docked one position,
maybe.
Yeah, or
I always like the warning. Give him one shot.
After you give him a warning, and you know, and like we've said, Danny does a good job at talking over that radio,
knocking anybody's.
No
job out there or what they're doing. It's just something that like the good point you brought up, and I noticed it even after, more so since you brought it up, that this is happening, and it affects the race more than just the start position. Because of the new point system, it affects points that basically is money, championship points, which is money. You know, you're hitting guys in the pocket if you don't take care of this. You know, guys that are struggling to be out there, because it is, like you said, an entry-level type, you know, division, it affects pretty heavy, you know, on guys, on teams out there. So, but no, hey, what's the fix?
We don't have a fix right this second.
A warning,
and then maybe docked a position.
Right.
I don't.
And I've seen that, and guess what? Once that happened, I didn't see it the rest of the night on any restart, because they gave the guy a warning. They did another restart. He did it a second time. I want to say it was a super late model division that I seen this in, and they put him to the back. And guess what? Nobody else did that the rest of the night. So they all, you know, had a nice start, you know, and all that. And it was more noticeable in the super late models because, you know, the power that they have when they brake checking and then finally take off is a lot more noticeable than like in a bomber where it's kind of more gradual, you know. But,
yeah, but and in the bomber division, when you've got cars going towards the wall and towards the infield, just so they don't hit the car in front of them and or the car behind them hits, you know, I mean, it's very, very noticeable.
I mean, we had seen this last year. Mark Skinner dove to the infield twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Twice. Okay, so we wouldn't hit.
Right.
And this was on the backstretch.
And did they...
This wasn't... The pace car wasn't even off.
Wow.
Okay, this was on the backstretch, and it happened twice with Sam Jacks, same race.
Did they allow the
on
race
the back
to continue to start? So that's,
yes,
so that's
Mark,
the problem.
Mark had to jump back in to line. Same with Sam.
Right.
It wasn't a matter, you know, on the backstretch this happened.
Right.
Then we got all jammed up in 3 and 4, where I'm starting way back there is, you know, these guys are taking off, and I'm...
Yeah,
railing
you
somebody in the rear.
You don't
want to
get lapped the first lap.
I have a hard enough time staying on.
Yeah, I got lapped in lap one.
And little Mike is exactly right. You know, if you're the leader, you want to get all the advantage you can get.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But when you're stacking up the whole field,
get it. Well, there's a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do it on a start. Get your finish and your advantage. Racing.
Yeah,
not
exactly. Exactly.
You know, that's what the pace cars for.
I mean, you can go the pace and do a little hesitation move and not stack up the field.
Right.
You see in NASCAR all the time.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What the fix is, don't know. But it's to me, it's very noticeable in the bomber division. I can't answer for any of the other divisions.
Here's what I say you do is just get right on the guy's bumper in front of you. Not... And ride it, and if that happens, push him off the track. Until that happens,
you can say that stuff because you're not driving one of these cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, bikes
don't get it confused. That's not the Mike Riesler driving.
Yeah. This is the Mike Riesler from
this
the stands.
How easy is that to say in the stands?
Just push the guy, man.
This is my solving of this. The pace car sits in the middle of the track, second group. Okay. The pole sitter and outside pole sitter get side by side with the pace car. The pace car stays out there, takes the lead until the whole field
passes
around them, and then he ducks in. This way we get an even start.
You're going to need a tow truck to get home.
I wouldn't even volunteer to be in that pace car.
I'll sit in the middle. I'll do it. But the pole sitter and the outside pole, door to door with the pace car, have the pace car bring him around.
Now, you would hit that pace car just to hit it.
Here's my suggestion. Jay, you push all the cars that try to brake check. You keep them in check. You're the one in the very back of the field to push them all forward.
That pace car, by the time I finally catch that pace car, it'll be off the track 5 laps before I get it.
Yeah, big problem.
There you go.
Starters in the old day
used to stand in the middle of the track.
I know.
There's one way to fix the problem. Use the pace car. That's one way to fix the problem.
Yeah, okay, we got suggestion one. Use the pace car.
Yes. Stick them in the middle of the track until all the cars, the outside lane has to travel to the outside.
And
Jay's
second suggestion is get Tim Richter with the start, the green flag, and stand in the
middle of the track. Hey, those are the old days. Starters would have to go around them.
You know what? That's a great idea. The guy that causes the delay, that's his warning. He has to start him with the green flag in the middle, the next race. Hey, again, we're actually out of time. I can't believe it. Thanks for joining us again here on OnWheelsNow.com. We're going to see you out there at the LVMS racetrack this weekend. Make sure you go out there. It's college night. You want to come out and watch all the divisions race this weekend. Spectator gates open at 5. If you want, come to the pits. Say hello to Gary and Jay and... Or, you know, you can do it on the fly and nobody would even know. So so I guess we'll see you live here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. and we'll talk about some more racing from the LVMS. So see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. and we'll see you at the racetrack this weekend.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.